Thank everyone so far has taken part this morning. Thank you for leading Joshua. We want to come to 1 Samuel chapter 28, please. 1 Samuel and chapter 28, please. And I have to warn you this morning that I have a message to preach that I probably would rather not preach. It's difficult. It may seem a bit hard, but this is what the Lord has brought us to in our studies of David. We're going to concentrate especially this morning on Saul, King Saul. And King Saul, I believe, is a man who pushed God too far. And when someone pushes God too far, then I'm afraid the outlook will not be good. And so, bear with me this morning as we go through this message. I would prefer to preach something perhaps a bit more uplifting, but I do trust that God will use it this morning to speak to all of our hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 28, we'll break into the chapter at verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up him up whom I shall name unto thee. The woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life and to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid for what thou sawest, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, saying, the Lord has departed from thee, and has become thine enemy? The Lord has done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbour, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel into thy hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy son shall be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. And Saul fell straightway all along in the earth, and was sore afraid. Because of the words of Samuel, there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all day nor all night. The woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice. I have put my life in thy hand, my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also to the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So arose from the earth, and sat upon the bed. We'll end there at verse 23. And we are looking to the Lord to bless this inspired reading of his infallible word to our hearts this morning. When we last looked at David, we noticed that David was near victory. Victory was just around the corner. We have read in our reading here this morning that soon King Saul would be dead. Indeed, Samuel says tomorrow, and Saul will be no more, and therefore the threat to David was about to be taken away. But David panicked, and David went into the land of the Philistines. We talked about Satan's last throw. We talked about the separation loss that was tragic. And David goes into Philistine country. He is, in New Testament terms, like a backslider. He leaves the place where God wants him to be. He leaves the people that God wants him to be with, and he heads into foreign country. He heads into Philistine country. And when he's in that Philistine country, we talked about the severe lies he told. He was battling enemies of Israel, but he pretended to the king Achish that he was fighting indeed the enemies of the Philistines. He told a manifest lie. Then there was the solemn lesson taught. In 1 Samuel 27, verse 12, Achish believed David, saying, "He hath made his people utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever." And it's as if the king is saying, "I've got David now forever," a little bit like Satan. And sometimes God's people can backslide and they can get away from the Lord. And indeed, the old enemy is saying, "They're finished, you've had it. There's no hope for you." And that perhaps is how some might even feel at times, and they get further and further away from the Lord. Last week, if you like, two weeks ago, we were looking at someone who has backslidden just at the beginning of that journey. And of course, we'll pick David up next week in the will of the Lord, and we'll see how God will bring him round again eventually. This morning, we're looking at what I've called an experienced backslider. And there's a solemn warning here this morning. I'm not going to contradict what I said previously. Yes, sometimes Satan can say to God's people, "You've gone too far. There's no hope for you." Sometimes we can go too far. We can push God too far. And for the child of God, there's no hope. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about your sanctification has gone. And in some cases, and I mean in very serious cases, God can even take the believer home. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. And I want you to handle this truth maturely this morning. This is a serious truth. This is a severe truth. This is what we find in the Word of God. It's possible for a believer to get so far away from God that God gives up on them. And sometimes God can take them home. Now let me say, don't ever try and work this out. Because when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lost his life as a young man. The sinless, spotless, crimeless Son of the living God. So don't try to impose this on someone else. These are extreme circumstances. These are extreme situations. And yet we find this taught in the Word of God. We already know that sinners can push God too far. Proverbs 29 verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." It's possible for someone who doesn't know the Lord to hear the gospel, to even come under conviction of sin, and to want to get saved and to walk away from the Lord. And this can be repeated over and over again until it comes to the stage where they become so hardened to the gospel it has no effect. And it is possible that God could let them go. We see this in some examples indeed in the New Testament. But I believe it's also possible for a believer to push God too far. Now there is some debate over whether Saul was actually ever saved. And the fact that we have to debate it, isn't that sad? Wouldn't it be sad if something happened to you and we were having a conversation, you're gone, was he, was she really saved? Wouldn't it be awful if we had to have that conversation? Wouldn't it be sad if you left no clear testimony? No assurance for your family. You hadn't made your calling and election sure. And there's a question mark over your salvation. Because there's a big question mark over Saul here. I err on the side of Saul being saved. I'll tell you why. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, it says, God gave him another heart. Indeed, in verse 6 of the same chapter, God told him he would become another man. And when he eventually dies, him and Jonathan, we read in death they were not divided. Does it mean they just died together? Or does it mean they both were going to the same place? And we'll see something Samuel says a little bit later that again would indicate, certainly indicate that Saul was a saved man. But as a child of God, Saul got so far away from God. In the New Testament, 1 John 5, verse 17, this is what we read. Verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give his life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is a sin unto death. It's not a particular sin, because the next verse says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, let me say again, this is extreme, this is rare, but we find it in the Word of God. We find that sometimes believers can push God so far that the only thing God can do is take them home and take them out of the way. Such is their testimony. That it's doing damage to the testimony and the good name of our Lord. Do you remember Achan? In the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 7, do you remember there was sin in the camp? And we read in Joshua chapter 7 that Joshua rent his clothes, he fell to the earth, and they're getting down to pray. Here's what the Lord said in Joshua 7, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. And let me put it into plain English. What are you praying about? No point praying for this man. This man has sinned. This man has sinned. This man has to be dealt with. This man was put to death. When we come into the New Testament, remember Acts 5, verse 5, Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Ananias was a man of God. His wife Sapphira, she was a woman of God. There were members in the assembly, and they lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied to God. God took them out. Do you remember the Lord's table was being abused in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? They had turned the Lord's table into a party. It was full of ill reverence and all sorts of things were going on. And here's what Paul said, for this cause, for what cause? Because they had brought the Lord's table into disrepute. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. And here's what it says, many sleep. Now, it doesn't mean they fell asleep in the meeting. Means God took them out. Now let me say this. This is solemn. This is sincere. But I have to preach it this morning because I believe in this Old Testament example we have a man who I believe was a saved man. You could argue that with me this morning and I'll say it is an arguable point. But he pushed God too far. And God took him out. Child of God, it's a serious thing to bring dishonor to the name of the Lord. It's a serious thing. And for those who continually bring dishonor to the name of the Lord, sometimes the Lord will take them out of the way. Serious teaching, isn't it? The Lord said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord won't let you wreck his church. The Lord won't let you spoil his good name. And in some situations, God steps in a very serious manner. Now I hope you're mature enough to handle that truth this morning. Now let's look at these verses this morning because we're going to see this man called Saul. And we're going to see how far he is away from the Lord. Let me say, first of all, he has absolutely no contentment. Look at verse number 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Here's the battle is set. The armies have gathered. Remember, David's out of the picture now. Saul can't come to David now and ask David, a great military man, for help. David is gone. David's in Philistine country. And so here is, and Samuel has died. You read that in the first three verses. Samuel is gone. David is gone. And here's Saul, and the Philistines have come against them. And you can see how Saul feels in verse number 5. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. He has no confidence. He has no peace. He has no joy. He has nothing at all. He's looking to himself and he's looking at the enemy and he's trembling. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 11, just to read a few verses very, very quickly to show what the change this is in the life of Samuel, or in the life of Saul, sorry. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 11, Israel's facing the enemy. Saul inspires the nation to fight the Ammonites here and he leads the troops into battle and there's a wonderful victory. 1 Samuel 11, verse 11. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. It came to pass when they, that which remained, were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Verse 12. And all the people said to Samuel, "Who is he that said, Saul, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death." Anyone who was against Saul at the start, they're all so much in love with Saul. He has won a great victory. And so they're all getting behind King Saul. What a mighty man of valor he was. What potential here. How pathetic. How pathetic to see him this morning. And he's greatly afraid. And he's trembling. And if you're still in 1 Samuel chapter 11, look at verse 15. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. What potential he had. What a king he could have been. What a man he could have been. But here in verse 5, in our reading this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 28, instead of being full of faith, instead of ready for victory, he's trembling. He's afraid. Remember what the Lord said to us? Fear not. Don't be afraid what man can do unto you. Psalm 56 verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." But there's so many against me this morning. Psalm 3 verse 6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." But Lord, you don't know what they're saying. Psalm 112 verse 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies." I'm so afraid I can't sleep. Proverbs 3:24, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. There thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." God can deal with our fears. And if you're full of fear this morning, and I mean genuinely afraid, and the old devil has put that fear into your heart and it's holding you back, God says to you this morning, "Fear not, fear not." Problem with Saul was he was so far away from God. He wouldn't have heard what the Lord had to say. Isaiah said in Isaiah 12 verse 2, "I will trust and not be afraid." Let me say this, the way of the transgressor is hard. And here's this man Saul, and he's gripped with fear. He has no peace. He's troubled. He's afraid. He's discontented. Circumstances have got him down. But here's the problem, he's not close to the Lord. Child of God this morning, I know all about fear because we all can feel it at times. But I wonder, are we so fearful this morning because there's a distance between you and your Savior this morning? Has something come between you and the Lord this morning? And here's Saul. Saul has no contentment. He's overcome with fear and trembling, the marks of a man walking afar off. But it's more serious than that. Look at verse number 6. We're back in 1 Samuel 28. He has no contentment. He has no communion. And Saul decides he's going to come to the Lord and he's going to pray. And that's what it looks like in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. These were God's three given methods. In Old Testament times, God would speak through dreams. God, as we noticed before, would give guidance through the Urim. And of course, God would speak through prophets. But the prophets were silent. Samuel was dead. The Urim wasn't about the dreams. God had just absolutely nothing to say to Saul. Heaven was silent as far as Saul was concerned. He received no word from the Lord. His prayers are just ignored. James tells us in James 5 verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word fervent means to be active. It means to really cry unto God. You see the word that's used in verse 6? It just means to ask. There's no enthusiasm here. There's no zeal here. This is half-hearted at best. Can we expect the Lord to hear our prayers when we haven't been listening to Him? I know if we cry out for salvation, I know if we cry out for restoration, I know that God will hear us if there's genuine repentance. But can we expect the Lord to hear when there's sin in our hearts? Here's what the chronicle record of this records. This is very interesting. 1 Chronicles 10 verse 14. And is speaking about Saul. And inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. It says he inquired not of the Lord, but we have read that he inquired of the Lord. Heaven didn't take note of his prayers, because they weren't really prayers. He wasn't talking to God. God wasn't going to listen to Saul. This man has pushed God too far. This man has gone so far. God's not listening to Saul. Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Proverbs 15 verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Jeremiah 5 verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I wonder what you're losing out on because you're far from the Lord this morning. Is that you this morning? Has something got between you and the Lord? Have you turned your back on the Lord? Maybe some listening to this message at a different time and a different place. Have you got far away from the Lord? Are you like Saul? It's been years. It's 35 years, I think I'm right in saying that. From Saul was walking right with the Lord. That's how long it's been. No wonder we can't work out if he's really saved or not. He's been so far away from the Lord, and all of his behavior, there's been absolutely nothing to suggest he was a man of God. And here he comes, and he's talking about praying, but he wouldn't listen to the word of God. He wouldn't accept that David should be king. He fought against the word of God. He fought against God's man. Prayer is hard work, and prayer is heart work, and David has neither. There's no contentment here. There's no communion here. There's no consistency here. Look up the chapter at verse number 3. This is a strange account we find in the Word of God, but we have to deal with it. And Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. These familiar spirits are those who would suggest they could speak to the dead. A familiar spirit was a demon who could impersonate another person. And these witches or wizards would say they're speaking to the dead. And people would go to them to hear what their dead relatives would have to say. Of course, it was a con by Satan. It was the demon that was communicating. It was never the person. And of course, God had no time for these things. Exodus 22 verse 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Leviticus 19 verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Halloween would be banned if it was to do with God. It would be banned. And I hate it. I hate the sight of it. I hate anything to do with it. And God hates it, and he would ban it if he was in control. And I say that reverently, but he's not the one. It's mankind that's doing that which is right in his own eyes. But this occultish behavior was banned by God. It was an abomination. And Saul had rid the land of it. He had banned it. Well done, Saul. But look at verse number 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. The one who banned it, the one who was against it, the one who held the placard up saying, down with witches, is the very one now who's going to this witch of Endor to try and find out something about this battle and what he's going to do. Endor was only a few miles away, and people seem to know where this woman was. It gives you an idea of the spiritual state of the land. But here's the marks, classic marks of a backslider. Things he once said no to, he now says yes to. Things he once condemned, he now condones. Things he once wanted excommunicated, he now embraces. Are there things in your life, when you get saved, you wouldn't have touched with a barge pole? But now you embrace them. This is really what we're getting to this morning, isn't it? This is gross hypocrisy. Matthew 23, verse 28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you've fallen into sin, and very often you find those who are so against something could well be secretly practicing it. And this is what we see in the life of this backslider here. Look at verse 8 again. Do you see what Saul does? He finds out about this witch at Endor, only a few miles away, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. One commentator said this, every shred of honesty and truth were gone as far as Saul was concerned. He wouldn't know the truth if it hit him between the eyes. Lying had become a way of life for him. He was just a liar and a cheat and a fraud. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. He goes by night, and he's practicing something under the cover of darkness that he would never own up to publicly. Brethren and sisters, I'm not going to paint any pictures this morning. Is there something under the cover of night that you need to get sorted out? Because you know what's wrong. And here's Saul flying in the face of the Word of God, doing something he once condemned others to do, doing something that he had banned out of the country. Has some sin engulfed you? Publicly, you would denounce it. Behind closed doors and in the darkness, you're hooked this morning. I'm not looking to know this morning, but God wants to sort it out this morning. God wants you to be what he can do with you, and he wants you to fulfill your potential this morning. Don't let the devil spoil it. Be sure your sin will find you out. Saul found heaven's door closed, and he goes to hell's door. Look at verse 9. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life and cause me to die? This woman is more worried about Saul than she is about God. She's more worried about her life than she is about her soul. How foolish is that? How foolish are you this morning? You're more concerned about your life than your soul. This woman, of course, she was a witch. She had no time for God. And look what Saul does in verse 10. He swore to her by the Lord. He swears by the very God he's disobeying. What a hypocrite. What a fool he was. Verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel. I was going to call this message the witch bewitched, but then my understanding of the word bewitched wasn't actually right. So I had to change the title to just simply too far. But here this witch can't believe what is happening because Samuel actually appears. And I know, again, some argue over this passage, but this woman is shocked because normally this was just a con. This was some demon. This was the devil's con. But Samuel stands up and Samuel comes up. Look at verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. She's scared out of her wits. This hadn't happened before, and she's terrified. And she knew now this man in front of her had disguised himself, was King Saul. She knew that. But look what Samuel said unto Saul in verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. God has departed from me." No, Saul, you departed from God. And Saul doesn't mention the Urim. He doesn't want to think about the time he murdered the priests. And so he's even careful with his words in his deceitfulness. And he wants to know what he's going to do in verse 15. And Saul is an unrepentant, backslidden sinner. Look what Samuel says in verse 17. "And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore doth the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover," here's what's going to happen, you saw. "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy sons shall be with me." Now, did Samuel mean that Saul was going to be in paradise with him? Because if he did, then Saul was a saved man. It's another hint, I believe, and it's why I err on the side of Saul being genuinely saved, but backslidden so far that God had given up on him. "And the Lord shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord." Saul, things are going to get worse. Tomorrow, you're going to die. God's finished with you. Unsaved in the meeting. What if tomorrow you were going to die? What would you do now? Saul has gone too far. He refused to obey the voice of the Lord, and things are going to get worse. Here's again what Chronicles says in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. "So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit," that's this witch, "to inquire of it." Verse 14, "and inquired not of the Lord." And here's the interesting thing. We looked at the word inquire in 1 Samuel 26 verse 7. But 1 Samuel 28 verse 7, Saul says he wants to inquire of this witch. The word used for inquiring of the witch is a much stronger word. Here's what the companion Bible says. "Saul sought thus with the medium, but not with Jehovah." He puts everything into the witch. And he just come to the Lord half-heartedly. But when it came to the witch, he was enthusiastic. He was a fervent man when it came to seeking the witch. But of course, God didn't even recognize his prayer. I believe Saul had pushed God too far. Is it possible for a believer to get so much into sin that God gives up on them? Yes, I think it is. I think it's extreme. I think it's rare. But I think it can happen. That's why your walk with the Lord is so important this morning. At one time they cried, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Now he can't even get a word from a prophet. David began his backsliding journey last week or 2 weeks ago when we looked at it. Here's Saul, an experienced backslider. And I say that tongue in cheek this morning. And it's not ending well for him. And thousands of years later, theologians are still arguing, was Saul ever a genuinely saved man? Wouldn't it be awful if we're debating your death, if you were ever really saved, if you ever were a child of God? You have a responsibility to make your calling and election sure and to leave people in absolutely no doubt. It's been hard this morning, sometimes hard to take. But I have to warn people, the people of God, that sin seems to become so acceptable to so many people. It can never be acceptable to a child of God. Society has devalued marriage and devalued so much, we can't go down that road. We have to keep the word of God sacred and God's standards sacred. Or we end up like Saul, we push God too far. There's a man called Robert Robertson. Many of you have heard the story before, I have no doubt. He was backslidden for many, many years. One day he was traveling on a train and a young lady had been listening to a hymn and she read the words of the hymn and she said, "Have you ever heard this hymn? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." He broke down and began to weep and he says, "I'm the one that penned that hymn. How I would love to be back there." And she said, "Look, the streams of mercy are still flowing." Backslider this morning, the streams of mercy are still flowing. God's given you space to repent. Don't push God too far. Unsaved in the meeting, what a privilege to be able to hear the gospel, to understand the gospel, to understand that you need to be saved. Don't push God too far. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this morning, and Lord, it's sad when we see an example of a man like Saul, who began with great potential and ended up so pathetic. God forbid that that would be true of any here in Rough Island or any who once sat in Rough Island. Lord, we just pray even for some who may be listening through CDs or through the internet. Perhaps, Lord, they've wandered far away from thee. Lord, would you stir them up? Would you convict them of their sin? Would you lead them to repentance? Lord, that they might make that journey back again. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Put your hand upon all of us. Lord, as Paul would say, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Help us to stay close to the shepherd. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is